for those of you who are my age or older, know that when we were little kids, the chalice was never offered to lay people at Sunday Mass. And because of that, I remember very clearly, seared into my memory, watching the priest consume the chalice at Mass. And in particular, our pastor at the time was Father Wenning at St. Anthony's. And as he tipped up the chalice at the altar, I remember wondering if, you know, what that tasted like, because I knew what it was to split my lip and to taste blood. And I wondered if he was indeed himself tasting a little half a cup full of salty, metallic tasting liquid, and thinking, gosh, that's an awful lot, huh? I clearly didn't fully understand the nature of the Eucharist at that time, the philosophical concepts of substance and accidents, but I clearly had unshakable faith that Father Wenning was drinking the blood of Jesus. Not wine, but the blood of Jesus Christ. God gave me the gift of faith, and that faith, particularly faith in the Eucharist, was obviously nurtured and cared for by my parents, by my family members, by teachers in my Catholic school at Trinity. And I can tell you that there has never been a time in my life, not once, when I ever thought the Eucharist was simply a symbol for Jesus. I knew from my earliest days as a child that what was on that altar was God come to earth. That's why it was so troubling this past week, and perhaps you saw this in the news as well. So troubling this past week to read the results of a new Pew Research study regarding Catholic belief in the Eucharist, which revealed that nearly 7 out of 10 self-identified Catholics say that they personally believe at the Mass the bread and wine used in communion are simply symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. 7 out of 10. So theoretically, we could line 10 of us up, and 7 would say, just a symbol. Only 3 out of 10 believe in the core teaching of the Catholic Church that at Mass, when the priest repeats the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, that bread and wine are transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. That essential doctrine of transubstantiation reveals that the bread and the wine no longer exist, and that it is Jesus Christ himself whom we see, whom we adore, and whom we consume. Our scripture reading today tells us that faith is a gift from God. In the letter to the Hebrews, we heard, brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that in order for our faith to grow and thrive, it must be obeyed. But not in the sense of obeying that we might think about immediately in English, but the Latin words, which mean listened to or heard. Hearing one's faith means freely submitting to the word that has been heard, because its truth is guaranteed by Almighty God, who is truth itself. Abraham, whom we hear about in our second reading, is a model of such obedience. and the Blessed Virgin Mary is the most perfect embodiment of listening to one's faith and then freely submitting to it. By God's grace and the nurturing of my parents and teachers, I had faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist from my earliest days. And I have freely submitted to that teaching throughout my entire life. I don't say that out of a sense of pride or arrogance, because faith is an undeserved and unearned gift which God gave me, in addition to God giving me people and circumstances which nourished that gift to this very day. Because if this weren't the truth, why be a Catholic? If we didn't have the Eucharist, why bother with all of this? I could go a mile and a half down the road, have a nice Christian band and a latte on Sunday morning instead of what we have. Why be a priest if what we consume today is simply a symbol? Why bother? I suspect that all of us who hold Catholic faith in the Eucharist could easily come up with a list of all the reasons why so many Catholics think the Eucharist is just a symbol. Poor catechesis, ignoring the intellectual dimension of the Eucharist, which talks about substance and accidents and transubstantiation. Irreverent reception of Holy Communion, secularized liturgies, lousy preaching, clay chalices and wicker baskets on the altar, and music at Mass that reinforces unorthodox belief. To that last point, I remember an awful song sung in my parish when I was in high school. And the lyrics, I'll just give you a couple of the lines, and maybe if you're my generation, you remember this. Let us break bread together on our knees. And then everyone responds, on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees, on our knees. Over and over again, drinking wine and eating bread. I will guarantee you, that you will never hear that song here at the cathedral. Because this isn't some nice picnic, sitting on a blanket, eating bread, and drinking wine. But rather than spending a whole lot of time on how we got here, because again, we could probably be here all day, especially if I opened the mic up to you, instead of spending a whole lot of time on how we got here, I'd like to end this morning with something that might help us nurture our faith in the Eucharist going forward. It's something that has helped me throughout my life. And it's a Eucharistic hymn in Latin entitled Adoro Te Devote. It was written by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 14th century. And again, it's always been a favorite of mine and always a source of deepening my faith. We're going to sing it as one of our offertory hymns today. It wasn't printed in your bulletin because I came up with this idea after Henry got the offertory hymn in the bulletin. He was on time and I was late, so we printed it, and the ushers handed you out a copy as you entered church today. I'd just like to briefly go through the stanzas. And again, St. Thomas Aquinas wrote this, no doubt after, while offering Mass and reflecting and praying on what was happening before him at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. He writes, God with hidden majesty lies in presence here. I with deep devotion, my true God revere, whom this outward shape and form secretly contains. Christ in his divinity, manhood still retains. In that stanza, we have the truth reflected that our majestic God is hidden here in something that looks like bread and wine. In this shape and form is hidden the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ. He continues, all my other senses cannot now perceive, but my hearing, taught by faith, always will believe. I accept whatever God the Son has said. Those who hear the word of God by the truth are fed. Well, that begs the question, what has God the Son said about the Eucharist? God the Son, if the line says, I accept whatever God the Son has said, what has God said? He has said, God the Son has said, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. And the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I will raise up on the last day. At the bottom of that little sheet, I put the scripture reference. It's the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. I think verse 22 to 66, in which our Lord Jesus Christ himself teaches us about what the Eucharist means. Not a symbol, but instead his flesh and blood. The next stanza, God lay stretched upon the cross, only man could die. Here upon the altar, God and man both lie. This I firmly hold as true, this is my belief. And I seek salvation like the dying thief. At every holy sacrifice of the Mass, we pray the prayer of the good thief. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We're there with Jesus, and we identify with that thief who begs the Lord for salvation, and who then in turn hears those powerfully comforting words. I assure you, this day you will be with me in paradise. Wounds that doubting Thomas saw I could never see, but I still acknowledge you my true God to be. Grant that I shall always keep strong in faith and trust, guided by my Savior, merciful and just. Blessed reminder of the death suffered for the world, sacrament of living bread, health to every mind. Let my soul approach you, live within your grace. Let me taste the perfect joys time shall not efface. Thomas Aquinas was getting at in that last stanza is the truth that what we do here, is a foretaste of heaven. We live with the grace of the Eucharist as we walk through this valley of tears so that we can enjoy one day the perfect joys of eternal life, which he says, time shall not efface. Perfect joy forever. And again, following the baptism, when we get to the offertory, we'll sing this hymn. And then I invite you, don't leave it in the pew. Please take it home with you. Stick it to your fridge or whatever and refer to it in terms of your own private prayer. Perhaps as a family, read that scripture passage on the bottom there, John 6, 22 to 66, to reflect not on my teaching of the Eucharist, but on the teaching of Jesus himself. This hymn is just one simple and I think beautiful tool that can help us to deepen authentic Catholic faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Not a symbol, but instead his body, blood, soul, and divinity.